church call there. And I had a chance the other night to do a little bugling. I played for the flag ceremony. Of course, in Lone Star, if you've noticed, we don't have the bugles working from HQ, so I've had a chance to do a little bugling at night, too. Interesting thing about that, you know, I bugle, of course, but one of the things people often ask me, I often play trumpet. I've played through high school band, college, university, played in the marching band in college, the basketball band. I've had a chance to fly on charter jets with the University of Kansas basketball team to go to the NCAA tournament and play my trumpet on ESPN and play in a lot of incredible different musical groups. But people always ask me, how'd you get started playing the trumpet? Man, you're good. How'd it all start? Well, true story, I was in fifth grade, going into sixth grade, and sixth grade was the year that we started beginning band in my school. And I really didn't know what instrument I even wanted to play, but it was also in sixth grade that I crossed over and became a Boy Scout. And one of the things I saw, I opened up my Boy Scout handbook, and at that time anyway, it listed some different offices you might serve your troop doing, and one of them said, do you play trumpet? Maybe you could be our troop bugler. I said, well, maybe that's a good instrument to play. And because I read that, I decided, you know what, that would be neat. Right away, maybe I could help my troop out, because we had found a bugle stuffed in the back of our troop trailer, and it was old and beat up, and like nobody had played bugle. I'd never heard anybody bugle, so I'm like, we need a troop bugler. I think I'll play the bugle. So I volunteered to play trumpet in the school band. And it's a true story. When people ask me, how'd you get started playing the trumpet? I say, well, really, I just wanted to be my troop bugler. That was it. And I look back now and I see how much fun this little instrument has brought me and every place I've gone doing it. And it really all goes back to scouting. Something that started, if you look at my merit badge sash, number one merit badge on my sash is bugling merit badge. And it's the one that is still most infrequently earned of all the merit badges. I think there's less than 300 given out every year in the country. That's one little story of what scouting has done for me. I can honestly say I wouldn't be playing trumpet today probably without scouting and wanting to get the bugling merit badge. There's lots of things that happen early in our scouting days that just happen that we don't even think about. You know, I didn't start out bugling because it's like, well, I want to be a trumpet player and I want to go play in a college band someday and I want to, you know, be really good at trumpet. It was just right there in front of me. Troop needs a bugler, I think I'll do it. God's grace works that way a lot. It's just some little thing that God puts in front of you that you just say yes to, and it just kind of works itself out. God's got a big plan for us. That's really what Jesus is trying to tell the apostles today in our gospel. There's a plan. Even for Jesus' life, there's a big plan. But you know, we don't see the plan all at once. It's one little thing at a time. I imagine what would have happened if I had said, I don't think I want to be the troop bugler. Let somebody else be the bugler. It would have seemed like just a simple decision. But where would I be today? I love playing my trumpet. One of the things that I think of when I think of my mom, I think of all the times that my mom sacrificed for me to take me to trumpet lessons. I think of all the people that have in my life taught me and helped instruct me on the trumpet to get me to where I am today to be able to do that on the trumpet. It's a bunch of people, a long plan that took a long time, but it all started with one little step. God offers us those little steps every day to say yes to the next thing that he asks us to do and to let his grace kind of work. That's what happened with the apostles. Somewhere along the line, Jesus said to the apostles, hey, you, follow me. And they did. Now, that's a pretty amazing thing, but that's just the beginning. Eventually, there comes a point when Jesus asks a little more of us. You know, I remember my first time ever sitting in this chapel. It was 1991. So that makes this my 23rd time being in this chapel on a Sunday down here. But I started off just like a lot of you that are here for the first time. How many are in the chapel of the 12 apostles today for the first time for Mass? That's awesome. Welcome. I remember when that was me. I had no clue, quite frankly, that there were this many Catholic scouts. I knew my troop, but I wasn't from a Catholic troop even. But then I got down here to summer camp, and I saw this, and I'm like, oh my goodness, look at that. It's cool to be Catholic and a scout. How about that? And I remember they gave me a little flyer with some prayers that compared the scout oath and the scout law to the Ten Commandments and some of the teachings of our faith. And I said, wow, Catholic Church and Boy Scouts go together. That's awesome. And I started getting more involved with my church and scouting. And for me, they've always kind of gone together. And I think one of the reasons for that is Jesus is always asking us to help other people, to be of service to other people. Something like, hey, you want to be the troop bugler? Hey, you know what? We just elected you patrol leader. Or we need somebody to be quartermaster for this upcoming camp out. They're little things. Maybe you think they're insignificant. But God does big things with little insignificant seeming yeses to what he asks. The simple things. To simply be of service to others. You know, as we gather out here now in this place too didn't get here just by accident. People gave a lot of money so that we could have this beautiful chapel because they too believe in Catholic scouting. You know, all the other people that are having services right now are jealous of our chapel. Jewish chaplain came by last night. He's afraid we're going to drown him out because you guys would be so excited when you're praying today because they don't have a big place like this over there on Chapel Hill. Everybody loves our chapel. But it tells a story, if you know how to read it. It says there are a lot of people who cared a lot about you, even though they don't know you. They wanted to make this chapel so that when you came to camp, you could have that same experience that I had years and years ago. When I first came out here, it was only this center section, and it wasn't this nice roof. It was not the prettiest place. The only thing left from that original chapel is this stone wall, pretty much back here. They saved that. But look how much we've had to expand. It's twice, it's three times as big now. What if we were to get more and more people? That's the next step that Jesus asks us to do. Because it's not enough for us to simply say maybe yes ourselves in little ways. There comes a point when God asks us more. We've got to step out of ourselves and start inviting other people. I'll never forget the time of my scoutmaster. It was my board review for my first class rank. And I was pretty happy to get to first class. And then I remember he asked me, now Sean, you're going to be a first-class scout. It's time for you to start giving back. How do you think you're going to do that? And I remember thinking, giving back? I guess I never really thought of it that way. Because I had just been soaking up everything scouting had to give. And then there was that question, how are you going to start giving back? I had to think about it. It's like, if you're going to be a star scout soon, you're going to have to start showing leadership in the troop. You're going to have to start, you know, taking an increasing responsibility. And for the first time, I think it clicked in my mind that, you know, it's not just all about me. I really do have to help other people. I looked at those little scouts now that were coming behind me. I'm like, well, gosh, I got to help them. I want them to have the same experience as I did. And, you know, as I look back now, I've been a scout 27 years. I think that's one of the most important lessons, the most important questions that was ever asked to me at that time in my life. How are you going to start giving back? And I would ask that question to probably all of you this morning. How are you going to give back for what scouting has given to you? Because that's the secret, not just to scouting. That's the secret to the whole Christian life. We look at what Jesus did for us. He died for us so that we can have life. And he asks us that simple question, so now what are you going to do? How are you going to give back? How do we even come close to giving back to Jesus what he gave to us? Jesus tries to tell the apostles in the reading today, I'm going to lay down my life for you. That's how much I love you. Now what are you going to do? It's an important question. Many people have laid down their lives in scouting for service of others. Every time I come to this chapel, I remember back over the years of the many famous people who have been in this chapel. And recently I was given a prayer book that one of my kind of iconic heroes used right here in this chapel. Some of you will no doubt remember Whitey Kugler, Chieftain Mad Drums. He was always Medicine Man Mad Drums to me, but at the end, Chieftain Mad Drums. Just an iconic figure on this reservation. Sat every year at every Sunday Mass right there in the Chapel of the 12 Apostles, and someone gave me a little prayer book of his recently that he used out here every Sunday. I think of people like Whitey and coming down here over and over and over again, all kind of chasing that question of how will I give back? And the secret is when you get that, it's fun to give back. We find meaning in life when we make our life service to others. There's a lot out there for young people to do today. When I was a scout, it seemed like there was more time for scouting. You know, I did all kinds of sports. I thought I played every sport imaginable, and I still had time for scouting. I always went camping on the weekends. Now, you know, especially in my parish, I see the young people, and I'm a high school chaplain, and it seems like there's no time for scouts a lot of times. There's sports and all kinds of things, and the truth is, sports are great, and you're going to play sports and do all that, but I can't help but think how many young people I see that give their whole lives as a young person over to sports. I see them now, they're going to practice every day, and even in the off-season, they're going to camps, and they're practice, and play, and all these games that are so intense now, it's like, I wonder if it's fun anymore. But the sad thing for me is I see some of them now, they don't have time for scouts, Father, I've got sports. Not that sports are bad, but I look at people like Whitey, who, you know, was not exactly an athlete, you know, at the end of his life there, although if you were called brave, you'd think he was a pretty ferocious athlete. Those were the good old days when I was called brave. Everybody thinks that when they were brave. But I look at how many of the people I respect today, the people that made the most difference in my life, they're not athletes. I mean, we can look at athletes and admire them and say, wow, they're awesome. Look at what they're able to accomplish. But they don't make a huge difference in our lives. It's the people that give of themselves without counting the cost that have made the most difference in our lives, I think. Some of you are going to be incredible athletes. It's true. But you know, this trumpet, I still play this trumpet. All that work I did in band, still do that. All that work I did in scouting, 27 years later, here I am, still a scout, still wearing my uniform, still doing that. I don't play basketball on a team anymore. Everybody else grew. I'm still too short for basketball. I certainly have ended my hurdling career. I had a school record in hurdles in junior high. That was really something. Those days are gone. Soccer, I go out with my high school team and I kick the ball around, and that's about it. I think of all the time I put it to baseball and running and cross country and track and football and all these things, and I don't do any of those anymore. At some point, that ends. If you give your whole life over to that when you're young, what do you got left when you start to get a little bit older? I'm glad that I did more than just sports. Now, you guys are all here, so obviously you get a little bit of that. The question is, there are a bunch of other people out there, maybe your friends, that you know would probably like scouts, but they're so busy doing other things. Our psalm today gives us the secret. It says, God, our hearts are thirsty for you. We're thirsting for God. And we're going to chase after trying to find it all over the place. The question is, where can we find God? Maybe in sports. Maybe in music. Maybe in scouts. We can find God all over the place. But the secret is making some time for him to really sit and listen. And I think that's what people like Whitey knew. He had listened a long time ago to know what God was asking him to do, and then he fully invested himself in it. Because the truth is, you can't be spread all over the place and make a huge difference. There comes a time when you have to commit to say, I'm going to do this with my life. So many of the people that I admire down here, the leaders that have made a difference, are ones that said, this is worth my life to help these young scouts grow. That's an impressive thing today, because nobody likes to commit. We think we keep all our options open, and then we'll be happy. I can honestly say the happiest day of my life was the day I became a priest. Now, most people would say, oh my goodness, you closed off so many options. You can't get married. You have to listen to your bishop, and he's going to tell you what to do. First thing I got my bishop to do was tell me to be the scout chaplain. So you learn how to work these things, too. But you would think that, oh my goodness, today to get married, to become a priest, to become a religious, oh my goodness. quite the opposite. It's in committing ourselves that we find true joy. And that's one of the things that I can honestly say I have found through scouting that it taught me early on, to persevere, to be committed. That's why I'm an Eagle Scout today, that I was willing to stay with it. The hardest part about being an Eagle Scout is persevering just to do it when it gets really difficult. So you Life Scouts that are sitting out there, I see some of you, persevere, keep with it. You won't regret missing that practice or quitting that team at all, I guarantee you, in 10, 15 years. But if you don't make Eagle and you stay alive for the rest of your life, that, I guarantee you, you'll regret. So keep with that. Make a commitment. It's okay to say, you know what, I don't have time for some of those other things. I want to commit to this. I can tell you, if you choose to make that commitment to scouting, you will never regret that. Because, I don't know, probably in this group is the next, you know, LeBron James sitting out here. Probably not. I mean, yeah, some of you are like, hey, no, Father, you should see me. I'm really good. Okay, I mean, maybe. You know, it could be. I mean, the next great football players out there, everybody thinks I'm going to be a professional athlete, and that's, you know, okay, that's a great big dream. The truth is, probably not. I mean, maybe in this group, one or two of you might even play something in college, maybe. Professional athletes here, probably not. Probably not. But I can guarantee you, in a group like this, some of you even that are here for the first time, I bet the next great scoutmaster, that leader, the next Wayne Coogler, who's 60 years from now, maybe you're still going to be sitting in this chapel every Sunday, I bet you're out there. You don't know it yet. You're just here for the first time. You're just like, hey, we got to do this, and Mom and Dad are coming, so Father, if you could get on with it, that'd be great. I get that too, because that was me. I'll just end by telling you, if you're willing to commit to scout, I still can't think of a better thing to commit to. It's, especially for adults, we've had some rough times in the last couple months this year, and people are wanting to bring down scouting and try and tell us what our future is going to look like and how it's going to be awful and how it's just going to keep going downhill and scouts is done. I don't know, I can't foresee the future. But I can tell you that I still think that Scouts is the best, greatest youth program we've ever got to commit ourselves to right now. And I thank you, adults, for being down here, for making that commitment. Because you are the great Scoutmasters right now. You may not think about that, but I look back at my Scoutmaster, he never would have thought he was like anything special. He's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. Man, I looked up to him. Scout leaders were always my heroes. Yeah, I like the sports, but scout leaders are my real heroes. You guys are heroes out there. And for you young heroes in the making, I hope that this is one of many, many visits to the Chapel of the 12 Apostles. It is one of the special places out here. I am so honored that in addition to wearing the uniform of a priest, that underneath all this hot stuff, I'm wiki, because I have a centennial uniform on, and I don't know if it's exactly working right, but every time that I go to put on my uniform, I put on my claws, my office, you could come to my office at Curia of Ars Parish in Leawood, and there on my wall, my Mikasek claws are hanging, my Eagle Scout certificate is up there. I don't have any pictures of me playing baseball or hurdling or anything like that. My claws are there, Vigil Honor certificate, Eagle Scout certificate. I hope you see that those are things worth committing to. It may seem like a small thing right now. Maybe it's as simple as saying, yeah, I'll learn trumpet so I can be the troop bugler. God will take that and multiply it immensely. Today, say yes to whatever little way God asks you to. And if it's in scouting, I guarantee you, you'll never regret that.